This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
NFL draft coverage live in the 8 o'clock hour on this Friday night. John Fricke, Joe Patrick with you. Phone number is always 404-726-0929. Let's update you on round two as we go through round two. It began with the Cleveland Browns selecting UCLA linebacker Carson Schwesinger. Now, the Browns had two picks at the very beginning of round two, picks one and four, neither of which was used on Shedeur Sanders, and Shedeur has turned into green room guy, though he's not in the green room. Texans then, with the second pick of the second round, took Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, the wide receiver. Nick Emmanuel, safety of South Carolina, went to Seattle that traded up for him. And then a pair of running backs went pretty quick from Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins. By the way, you're an Ohio State fan. Do you like Quinshon Judkins, who the Browns took, or do you like Trevion Henderson, who the Patriots took as a pro? As a pro,
I like Quinshon Judkins more. I feel like down to down, he's more consistent, can run through contacts and just create those yards that you need. Down to down more so than Trevion. Trevion can bust out bust off a touchdown run at any given point. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah, in between the Dolphins traded up to get an offensive guard from Arizona, Jonah, and Samoan name that we can't pronounce. Sorry, the Bears took Luther Burden to go another weapon for Caleb Williams. Then the real salt in the wound of Shedeur Sanders came from the Swampers with the eighth pick of the second round when they took Louisville quarterback Tyler Shough. So now you've had Cam Ward. Now you've had Jackson Dart. Now Tyler Shough. So Shedeur Sanders sitting out there going, those guys got taken before me? Tyler Shough?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was followed by T.J. Sanders, South Carolina, defensive tackle going to the Bills. Mason Taylor, tight end from LSU, star tight end going to the Jets, of course, son of Jason Taylor. And then Big Alfred. Alfred Collins is nicknamed Big Alfred from Texas, all 350 pounds of him or so, going to the San Francisco 49ers. And the Cowboys are on the clock with the 12th pick of the second round. Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, I mean, can you imagine the Sanders family going, Tyler Shough got, really?
Yeah, right. I bet they're probably saying something just like that. But, John, I'm looking at the best players still available in this draft. And it's kind of shocking some of the players that are still out there. Now, Mike Green is one of them, and I guess you could have foreseen something like this happening because he has the checkered history, and it certainly seems at this point that most teams around the league have probably red flagged him and just said that, that's not going to happen. So fascinating to see where he'll end up going. Will Johnson's still available. And then honestly, one that really surprised me, Donovan Ezeraku. I mean, he was supposed to be a first round pick and he's still just sitting out here in the second round.
Well, I like Ezeraku. I watched him a few times at BC. ACC Defense Player of the Year, really active, can really rush the passer, but he's a little like Mike Green. I mean, in the bowl game against Nebraska, because, watching the Huskers play that crappy bowl game in New York, he gets run over.
Yeah.
He's more like, again, he's another one of these light guys.
Yeah, 6'3", 248 is what he's listed as, which you never know how realistic that is.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But still, he was just getting mocked in the first round all the time. A lot of people had him to the Falcons potentially. So right. I'm surprised he's still sitting out there, and especially at the edge position too. I would have thought that this is just like such a high value position. Teams would have targeted him.
I mean, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, Jack Sawyer from Ohio State. See, my problem with this is when you start looking at edges, Jack Sawyer is not going to jump off. Ezra Raku and Mike Green are going to go out there in the combine, and they're going to just go, why would I touch Jack Sawyer? Because all Jack Sawyer did was make play after play after play after play after play.
With his super short arms, just making plays.
Yeah, but he's a playmaker.
I know.
He made the biggest play of the college football playoffs, crying out loud.
No doubt.
And he did it all by himself.
Nearly brought the team back against Michigan, too. Unfortunately, they couldn't do that. But he had an interception in that game, I believe, is what it was, and a sack late. Yeah, trying to bring him back single-handedly.
You know, he's one of those guys who just makes plays. Yeah. And now, so the Cowboys are on the clock, and we'll see what they choose to do here. They'll be followed by the Colts, and then the really interesting pick. So we're two picks away from the Rams. This was the Falcons' pick. Because if the Rams take Mike Green... Oh, we're going to have a lot of comparisons going on, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. That would definitely be a narrative. Having said that, I don't think I got the sense that the Falcons had put that red flag and were not considering him. I don't have that on record or anything, but just kind of reading between the lines, that's kind of
Ezra Raku just got picked.
Oh, did he? Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
By the Cowboys.
Good pick for the Cowboys.
Yep, they went with Donovan Ezeraku. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I do like Donovan Ezeraku.
Yeah, you're just saying he's not ready to maybe come in and be a three-down player.
I'm not sure he's a three-down player.
Which is what you would want with a first-round.
Which was my concern with Mike Green, too, that he would get – you know, you're playing against 275-pound, you know, Western Michigan or Toledo guys, and suddenly you line up across the line and, you know, there's, you know, 335-pound, you know, NFL man, and, okay – it's a little harder to get around him. Oh, wait, he's shoving me to the ground.
right.
You know?
Right.
So Donovan Ezeraku goes to the Cowboys with the 12th pick. Next up is the Colts, and then we get to the Rams. I hope the Rams don't take Mike Green. I really don't. Don't, please. Because, you know, why did you waste a first-round pick? You mean Mike Green better than James Pierce? You know, that'll be, oh, my God. 404-726-0929. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you. If you'd like to be part of the program, you can be on the air. You talk about your team. Love to hear about your team. Love to hear from a Swamper. Are you... You know, and by the way, it's a safe zone. It's draft night. Tyler Shough.
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, no, I want to hear from a New Orleans fan. Tyler Shough, are you excited about Tyler Shough? Yeah. Do you wish it was Shedeur Sanders? I mean, this is giving up on Spencer Rattler. Make no mistake.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're drafting Tyler Shough there. You're drafting him to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Might as well give him some run, see what he can do. You're not really locked into him long term, but he's a guy who can, or those guys could at least compete, you know, and have some training camp competition. But it's pretty clear that they're not going to be, you know, contending here for at least a couple of years, and, you know, depending on how fast they can get that quarterback situation solved. But, you know, John, I want to, with this, like, you know, if there is a Mike Green, James Pierce Jr. type of, you know, narrative, I actually think that would be more of a national media driven thing. I actually get the feeling that Falcons fans are generally very happy with the James Pierce pick and generally just him over Mike Green. I don't think that there's much of a issue with that necessarily. But I think the national media would love the opportunity to say, look how dumb the front office was. Look how much value they lost by, you know, getting too eager to trade up and all of that.
Yeah, and no, this is why I think it's so interesting to see what might happen with this Rams pick, because comparatively it will be, another one of your Ohio State guys is off the board. Boy, Ohio State's having a second round here.
There
JT's
we go.
Gone.
JT's probably the best run defending edge in this class, JT Tuimoloau.
Yeah, he's good. He's, you know, Ohio State, they're national champs for a reason. Certainly talent through and through. So that puts the Rams on the board. So a couple of edge guys go off back to back. And now let's see what the Rams do, because now we got Will Johnson, you got Mike Green, you have Shedeur. Well, I don't know why in the hell they'd take Shedeur. I mean, why in the world would you do that? Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame.
Yeah. I know he's got some medical concerns too. I believe he missed last year, but certainly a very talented cornerback. Has got great film, and if he is medically good to go, he's going to be plus value for whoever takes him.
Nick Scorton's still out there too.
You know, it's funny, John, because with JT Tuimoloau going, I'm just kind of recounting just my own process and kind of thinking through what the Falcons were going to do in this draft. And there was one kind of version, one iteration in my mind that had the Falcons maybe going with a player like Tuimoloau here in the second round and having gone with a guy like Malachi Starks or something like that in the first round. And I got to say, thinking about that situation, very happy to have Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. instead. It's about the best possible thing that could have happened.
Right. Well, the Falcons, again, back-to-back drafts, they have been able to – Alex Anthopoulos, I know that this is not a direct correlation because the Braves have had a lot of success. Alex Anthopoulos had a problem, what, 4 or 5 years ago with his bullpen. Right at the trade deadline, he goes out and gets three guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and solves his bullpen, night shift, all three of them. He has a problem with his outfield. He goes out during the World Series run, gets three guys. Solves his outfield issue, right? Because Acuna got injured, and he goes out and gets, you know, Soler and Jock and Rosario.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Falcons have kind of done that here. I mean, back-to-back drafts. They had the worst quarterback room in the draft. They go get the number one free agent, best player available in free agency, Kirk Cousins, and then they draft who they think is a franchise quarterback. They double up. And they did the same thing again yesterday.
Yeah. And it makes more sense to do it at edge because you can, you know, theoretically, these guys can
those
both give you value at the same time. They can both be on the field, as where the quarterback, you know, only one of them can really be out there. But having said that, I do wonder how much we actually will see Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. on the field at the same time in this first year, both of them their rookie years. I think obviously ultimately they will develop into more well-rounded players, especially I'm thinking about James Pierce Jr. because I do think of him as more of a designated pass rusher at this point in time. But certainly it's so much speed out there on the field for them. And even with some of these other guys they already have, they've kind of cleared out. You know, some of the players they've gotten rid of were some of the guys who I think of as being a little bit kind of slower and older, and it's exciting to think about how young and athletic they are now up front.
Well, I mean, but with Walker and Pierce to go with Ebiketie and Floyd, maybe Breland Trice, D'Angelo Malone, but we'll just talk about Floyd and Ebiketie. We're talking about a lot of fresh legs here.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, somebody's going to, you know, get back in there and at the end of the game and fourth quarter, they're going to have some fresh like guys wandering in there, the speed. Suddenly they're going to get a tackle's a little tired and makes a mistake, and that quarterback's going to be on the ground.
If Arnold Ebiketie continues to increase his sack production at the rate it has increased so far, which it has gone up every single year, he'll hit about 10 sacks this year. Leonard Floyd has had at least 10 sacks the last several years. You know, these. If you look at first round projections and how many sacks first round edges tend to accumulate, they probably added about 11 sacks through adding Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. So they've kind of steadily just added to that number, you know, and I think that they can get more out of guys like Morgan Fox on the inside. And so I'm very interested to see just how fruitful it's ultimately going to be.
Well, especially not only that, but let's go to the linebacking core, the inside linebackers. Getting a guy mm-hmm. like Diablo, who can rush the passer as a hand-in-the-dirt guy, too,
mm-hmm.
and Caden Ellis.
Caden Ellis, huge. He's one of the best pass rush win rate guys in the NFL.
Right. So you have all these guys that, are, you know, in theory, you know, can rush the quarterback here. That means you don't necessarily have to commit to so many blitzes in your back five, which right now sits at, what, Mike Hughes, A.J. Terrell, D. Alford, Jordan Fuller, and Jesse Bates, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the five, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's an area that they may be able to go into free agency and maybe bring back a Justin Simmons, for example. Who knows? Maybe they can get a Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
But the point is that, you know, they can, you know, certainly go into the back five now, but I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of, you know, calling on the back five to have to put pressure on the quarterback by taking a safety and bringing him all the way up.
Right.
Because you have guys like Diablo and Ellis.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Ulbrich actually spoke to AtlantaFalcons.com and really made a good point that I really agree with. He was talking about Jalen Walker and kind of wanting to not put too much on his plate and just allow him to, like, master one role and just really just – and basically said, you know, you want them to get in that mindset of doing the same thing over and over and over again, because for anybody who's mastered anything, the only way that happens is when you're just consistent and you know what's expected of you and you know exactly how you have to go out there and fulfill that duty, and that's what they can hopefully do with Jalen Walker. And his point was that, you know, you don't really want to be a defense that has to be – exotic in order to be successful. If you're having to kind of scheme up things, special, you know, blitzes and sub packages for different opponents, you know, week to week, that's exactly the way that the defensive results are going to go. You're going to have some days, some weeks that are really good and some that are really bad, but ultimately the best defenses in the NFL are the ones that basically just have five guys that can win their pass rushes. and it doesn't really matter what the opposing offenses, you know, do to prepare for that, because the talent is just better and they know exactly what they need to do.
By the way, the Rams just took a tight end.
Okay, well, we know that wasn't on the Falcons' radar.
Terrence Ferguson from Oregon.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's their first pick in this draft, too.
Right. They took Terrence Ferguson, tight end out of Oregon. And so the Rams, again, that was not one that's on my top board here. Still no Will Johnson. Still no Mike Green. Still no Shedeur Sanders.
Oof.
We're near halfway through round two. Live on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, it is NFL Draft coverage with John and Joe. Through round two, we are still some 50 picks away from the Atlanta Falcons' third round pick here. Welcome back to 92 on the Game. You can be part of the program. Love to hear you. You can talk about any team in the NFL. If you're a fan of any team, you want to talk to Joe and I about your draft, you want to talk about a player that you like or don't like, what your team is doing here. We're still on Shedeur Sanders' watch. He has not been taken yet.
Right. Shedeur Sanders, big talking point.
Mike Green has still not been taken yet, but Will Johnson has. The Arizona Cardinals selected Will Johnson with the 15th pick of round two, 47th overall, and that puts the Texans on the board with the 48th pick. Again, a lot of interest in what the Rams would do with the Falcons' second-round pick, and they selected Terrence Ferguson, tight end of Oregon. He's certainly a good, solid, and a big target, and it'll be interesting to see what they get out of Terrence Ferguson at tight end for the Rams.
John, are you surprised by Shedeur Sanders, the fall to this point, for him to go this far down? Because I'll be honest, like, I don't sound like the smartest guy in the room here, but I'm not that surprised this has happened.
I'm not that surprised either. And the reason is because I said, I don't know if he's Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he's Kyler Murray. I don't know if he's Trey Lance. I do know one thing. He ain't Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Well, I know another thing is that, whichever team he's going to go to is going to have just a ton of media attention. I have to think that that's one of the reasons why teams haven't wanted to kind of get into bed with this type of project, is because it is a project. He's not a quarterback that's just going to come in and be your starter, and he's just going to be lurking in the background and have all of this media attention behind him, and also has a father who obviously has a lot of influence, who with one tweet can kind of create a news cycle. So there's just a lot of
extra. Why is my son not playing if the current starter is struggling? Yeah, he almost now since it's gotten this late, it would almost be better for them, to go to a team later in the draft and go to a team that's got an established starting quarterback, and the team can say, look, we're drafting Shedeur. We want to work with him over the next few years. But, our quarterback is Joe Burrow,
I was going to say Dak Prescott.
No, that would be like the worst thing you could do. I mean, because
not for me, not for me, who is just an innocent bystander who would love to see you.
Man, who knows what Jerry wants to do? Knows what Jerry wants to do here. But I mean, you go to a place where you have such Baltimore. You have we can work with Shedeur. You're not starting in front of Lamar Jackson. Then there's no, there's no doubt about where you stand in the pecking order here.
But is Shedeur, is he okay with that? Is the Sanders?
Well, what's he going to do? Say, I'm going to the CFL?
Yeah, it's a great point. I don't know. He probably doesn't have another choice. Right, exactly.
I guess he could not sign.
It feels like they've tried to kind of.
And go back. He could not sign, go back into the draft, next year, right?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously, I can't recall it ever happening. But yeah, I suppose he could. But that might even be more of a red flag if he were to do that.
So Carson Schwesinger, linebacker UCLA, went first to the Browns in round two, followed by the Texans selecting Jaden Higgins, wide receiver, Ohio State. Nick Emmanwori, star safety from South Carolina, goes to the Seahawks with the third pick. Quinshon Judkins, running back from Ohio State, goes to the Browns. Jonah Savalianea from Arizona. I hope I'm getting that right. I'm not trying to mock
you. Nailed it.
Offensive. Yeah, I'm doing the best I can. Then you want to pick it up from there because you want to start with Travion? No? All right, I'll do it.
I was looking at my phone.
Travion Henderson goes to the Patriots. Another running back from Ohio State's had a bunch of players taken now. Luther Burden goes to the Bears, star wide receiver from the Missouri Tigers. Then Tyler Shough, third quarterback taken. Not sure to the Swampers.
Couple pivotal draft picks in the second round. One was Quinshon Judkins, which was that last Browns pick of that top five in the second round, and then that one because those seem like the stopgap, the safety stops basically for Shedeur Sanders, and he's slid below those.
Unless they trade back up, TJ True. Sanders, defensive tackle, South Carolina's having a really good second round.
Yeah,
for the Bills, Mason Taylor, Jason's kid. Tight end to the Jets from LSU, Big Alfred, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle from Texas, San Francisco, Donovan Azaraku, edge from Boston College, your guy JT.
Tua Mulowau.
Yeah, goes to the, where did he go?
He went to the Colts.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Ferguson, tight end, Oregon. That was the Falcons pick that the Rams traded down to in this draft, 46, Terrence Ferguson.
I wonder how many of our listeners know who Terrence Ferguson is. Because I wouldn't. I'll tell you that. He's a tight end from Oregon, if anyone was wondering.
Will Johnson, cornerback, taken by the Cardinals. Ariante Ursari, taken by the Texans offensive tackle from Minnesota. And another South
one.
Carolina.
Another Gamecock.
Demetrius Knight, a linebacker, goes to the Bengals. So South Carolina and Ohio State have each had three players taken in the first 17. And your guy is still out there. So you're right. I think the fascinating story now is how far does Shedeur Sanders fall? And I think it's going to be quite a distance because at this point, you talk about the next stopgap unless somebody trades up being Pittsburgh at 83. I don't think Pittsburgh, that's just not a Pittsburgh move.
When I was looking at my phone, I was texting with somebody who's connected in NFL circles about Pittsburgh, and we were agreeing that while a lot of people say that it's a landing spot for him, I don't know. The person I was talking to, it's hard to see. Hard to see with obviously Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator there and how he would just fit into that Steelers organization.
Some of your reaction here, 404-726-0929. Let's get to that. Let's go to the phones and to Wayne, who joins John and Joe. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, I always enjoy your format, John. I appreciate you having me on. I'm happy about what the Falcons done. I think it was well overdue, but nevertheless, we got some players that we believe that can come in and contribute immediately. And so, yeah, I think we're headed in the right direction. So we just got to be blessed with good health, of course. But I do think we do have some chips to play with this season on defense if everything comes to fruition like I would like for it to do. But let me address something else. Let me address this Shedeur Sanders thing. The elephant in the room is this. When you are unapologetically who you are and you don't have to bow down, then sometimes the establishment don't like that. And I heard someone make this comment about the media. Okay, the media is going to be around whether Shedeur is there or not. So that's not the issue. The issue is this guy is talented. You're not going to tell me that he's a fourth or sixth round talent. I'm not a talent evaluator. However, I see him come back in games. I've seen him take a beating from an offensive line that was next to non-existent and kept coming and kept coming. And won at every place he came or uplifted the place to where it's better after he left. That's the sign of someone that makes an imprint on your program. But we know what the narrative is. He's a black man in America. We know what that narrative is. So
I don't know what that narrative is. No, I don't. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, Wayne. What, black quarterback? You mean like Cam Ward, who was taken number one? Or, don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I think, like, listen, the beauty of the draft is every team gets the opportunity to make acquire the player they think is going to be the best for them. And I just, it's tell that we've gotten this far because it is surprising because of Wayne's point that he's had so much success in his college career. I mean, his entire college career.
Okay, let's go back to
as a team.
The record setting quarterback at Mississippi Valley State named Willie Totten. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was just shattered record after record after record. Willie the Satellite Totten. Now, he had a wide receiver named Jerry Rice. Nobody really so much talked about Jerry. They talked about Willie in college.
That's a good point.
Okay, so was this really Shedeur Sanders or was this really Travis Hunter?
And hey, and if it was Shedeur Sanders, then some team's going to get a great deal. Some team's going to get great value there.
And by the way, we're not going to go down this black quarterback. We're not going into that rabbit hole, okay? I just want everybody to know it's silly, it's unfounded, nothing to do with anything, okay? And so we're not going to go down into that role. That's not a hole that we're just going to traverse. I mean, the Falcons have a black starting quarterback, for crying out loud, that we hope is great.
Yeah.
The Seahawks just drafted again. They took a tight end. Tight ends are going off the board. Tight end from Miami, Arroyo, Elijah Arroyo, goes to Seattle. That's not exactly a quarterback there. Let's go to who's next here, Philip? Let's go to Philip. He joins us on the WayForward.com hotline. Hey, Philip.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Man, good.
What's up?
Nothing much. Let's start with the Falcons. You know, it was a good pick for the future. You know, definitely, two guys that could definitely, hopefully they could contribute, but I wouldn't too much, hang my hat on rookies. But, down the line, it definitely could pay dividends, going forward. And even if they can contribute fast, hey, that'll be great.
Oh, no. Let's be clear on that one, though, Philip. They need to contribute right now.
No, I mean, I understand, but I'm just saying is that, I've seen, when you hang your hat on rookies, that's always not a good, place to be in. But I understand, right. The sentiment of where the Falcons have been at for the last 10 years since I've been down here. As far as Shedeur Sanders, look, the bottom line is this. Shedeur Sanders, I think he's an okay quarterback, and when you're an okay quarterback, and you're coming in with this type of persona to a job interview, it's not going to paint well. And then plus, look who his daddy is, Deion Sanders. No team, just like with Lonzo Ball, with Lorenzo Ball, no team wants to deal with this type of headache coming in, especially when you're an average quarterback. It's just not worth the risk. So, hopefully, he might get drafted, but realistically, Deion – Deion and Shedeur, ain't nobody to blame but themselves. You can't go into a job interview saying, well, I'm going to pick where I want to go, do what I want to do, be what I want to be, and it is what it is.
Yeah, okay, no, I don't disagree with you. We're up against a break here. I appreciate the call.
Yeah,
Nick Skorton goes to the Panthers. Nick Skorton, the star edge from Texas A&M, just selected by Carolina at 19.
Good value for Carolina.
Yeah. So the Panthers get Nick Skorton. Just to what you were saying there, Joe, I think that we're at a point where he's got to go to an established team where all this my kid has to start thing has got to go away. You're behind Joe Burrow. You're behind Lamar Jackson. It's almost like the commissioner gets involved and says, hey, please take him.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be fascinating to see wherever he lands up.
404-726-0929, more of your calls. The Titans are on the clock, and let's see what we do. Round number two, I'm beginning to believe Shedeur Sanders is going to be a Saturday or Sunday call on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. My brother's just asking me, does Shedeur fall to the third round? I'm like, the question I think is really, does Shedeur fall to the sixth?
Ooh.
I think
I don't know.
At this point,
it's hard to sort out who would it be that would take him.
Again, I think it's got to be a team with an established quarterback. Because if it's a team that's going to put him into a quarterback battle, let's pick a team here. Let's say it's Minnesota.
Okay.
Do you think that Deion's going to allow J.J. McCarthy to get run and have his boy sit on the bench, and J.J. throws a couple of picks?
I think
it's got to be a team where the quarterback is just so entrenched. You know, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City.
But this kind of goes to your point, John, about, you know, the sixth round, is that if the teams that do have the entrenched quarterbacks are not going to go out and spend, you know, second, third round capital on that kind of player, you know?
Right.
They're gonna wait
till the fifth or sixth round, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. Joe, I'll ask everybody out there, would you watch Shedeur Sanders on the Falcons? My answer is hell no.
Right, exactly. Like, because
that's nothing
and
against
why?
Shedeur.
It's not against him as a quarterback. It's not like, oh no, he's like not a good enough quarterback. Yeah.
He's Deion's kid. I mean, he's royalty, Falcons royalty, for crying out loud, arguably maybe the greatest cornerback in the history of the game. Somebody that we love prime here. I mean,
right. Oh, yeah.
He's our guy. You know, I mean, but no, I don't want him here.
We don't even want Kirk Cousins here at this point.
That's true, too.
Honestly, Benjamin, for similar reasons, it's like it's just like a media like storm, and you there's just like, you know, it's just a conversation that you don't want to be having because you want to be talking about your, you know, your franchise quarterback that you've got who's young and all these other pieces.
A couple of updates here. The Panthers took Nick Scorton edge from Texas A&M, and the Buccaneers just took Benjamin Morrison, the cornerback from Notre Dame. So a couple of our rivals picking up big name college players. Benjamin Morrison's dealt with a lot of injuries in his career at Notre Dame, but is no doubt a very talented quarterback. If not for the injuries, Benjamin Morrison, probably a top 15 pick.
But
he falls to 53 because of the injuries. Yeah, but back to this, I think the Falcons kind of prove the whole point here about he's got to go to an established team, because love prime, and I do love prime. I may always have. You know, I was one of the fortunate, you know, people in town to have covered him not only with the Falcons but with the Braves. You know, one time Deion, that's a quick Deion story. One time Deion got into the celebration with in the locker room. Do you remember the Tim McCarver story when he's spraying?
No, I don't.
So he's spraying the champagne. And he sprays it right in Tim McCarver's eyes, and McCarver's live in the air. McCarver's, oh yeah, you're a man, Deion. You're a man. And I'm like, go, Deion, go. But Deion was at the plate, and so he hits a ball to the gap in right center at Fulton County, and it like two hops the wall in right center. And I'm watching this screamer go out there, and it bounces, it hits the warning track, hits the wall, center fielder grabs it. I look down between first and second, there's no Deion. And I immediately look to my right towards first. Did he slip on the infield grass? Oh, no, he's halfway to third.
You're right.
Standing up, you know, like just trotting in, you know, how he would check up. I'm like, it's a stand-up triple on a two-hopper to the wall. And okay.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I'm a little bit too young for him, but like I remember that feeling of, for me, it was Rafael Furcal, just seeing how fast he can move around the bases. Like, man, wow, eye opening.
Yeah, it was just, you know, insane here. So, for Shedeur, I wouldn't want him here. We have a young quarterback that we believe is a franchise quarterback. The last thing I want is, you know, his dad, who's Falcons royalty, to be, you know, out there complaining that his kid's not getting a fair shake, and you know, now we got the fan base is divided here, and maybe we should give Shedeur a shot. Oh my God, you know, I mean, it's just like, because once you make the move here, now the Falcons are a unique situation, obviously, because of the Cousins thing, because of the Penix thing, so they would never even consider it. But it really goes to any other team where you're not set at quarterback. The Dolphins, I mean, are the Dolphins really set at quarterback? Heck, your point, Cowboys. If the Cowboys drafted him and Dak had it, they paid Dak a bazillion dollars. And Jerry, I paid him a bazillion dollars, not a sixth-round pick, and it ain't going to happen. It doesn't matter. It becomes a sideshow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what you got to do. You just got to look at all these teams and put yourself in the situation of being, you know, a fan of those teams or even a, you know, front office member and think about, you know, would it make sense? Would it make sense for Shador to go to the Bears? No, they've got Caleb Williams. To the Broncos? No, they've got Bo Nix. To the Raiders? Potentially. More likely. So maybe at 58 there's a potential spot for them. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's just tough.
The Packers have selected Anthony Belton, an offensive tackle out of NC State. That'll put the Chargers on the clock, and the Bears are going to be up again. Boy, the Bears have a lot of picks. And again, we are now 55 picks away from the Falcons' next pick.
As a Falcons fan, don't know how much I love Benjamin Morrison going to the Buccaneers there. That's some really good value if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, it is.
That's a big question.
All right, if you're hanging on, I promise we'll get to you. Let's go to Ken here. He's on with John and Joe. Hey, Ken.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Ken.
Hey there. You know, I love Falcons picks. You know, this is the first time that they actually, I think, sufficiently addressed what they needed to do. And when you talk about Pierce, come out with a conflict with the red flags. You know, Patrick Kearney was a little thrown off, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw how he did.
Yep.
You know, we needed, if you put him in with Lamon and Troy Anderson could stay healthy, and you put him on the end, we got a very athletic linebacker core with the end. I feel a little good about it. I think that you need to sign a safety or a cornerback with this third pick. You never go wrong with picking linemen. And let's hope Brandon Trice, those players that were hurt last year, for all that we're hoping and waiting on, if they can contribute. And we got depth. And depth is a very important thing to have right now.
Well, one of the things I think is true here, Joe, is that Jeff Ulbrich is a creature of the 2016 team where they had a track team, an SEC team, where Hugh and Wes Durham and I were standing in the end zone watching, you know, Deion Jones and some of the players on that defense, and we were all remarking, how fast are these guys? They flew, and I think that's what he wanted to do. This is why Nate Landman is no longer on the team, is because he couldn't run.
Right.
And Divine Diablo is because Divine Diablo can run. Now when you put James Pierce Jr. and especially Jalen Walker on the field, and then you go out and get a Morgan Fox who's pretty quick, you've got some speed out there on this. This team has some more speed. Now, they could add more speed, but this is a faster defensive unit on paper than it was last year.
Yeah, especially in those positions on the edge. You know, that's where this team is not going to get outrun sideline to sideline, and that has happened in the past. Even when you've had good quality players in that position, like I'll say like a Calais Campbell, for example, you know, he was playing as an edge here, and he was very good, you know, in terms of like dealing with his blocks and whatever, but ultimately he just didn't have the speed to really kind of get to the outside and catch up to some of those backs or, you know, if this receiver screens or whatever it is. And so, and James Smith Williams, you can kind of go through some of the other players, Matthew Judon, for example, another quality player, but just not explosive in that sense. And that's where it really feels exciting for this Falcons team. Like they've really made upgrades there in that characteristic.
The Chargers have just taken Trey Harris, the star wide receiver from Ole Miss. If the Chargers play the Bears this year, I hope they play. I don't know if they do. Then bet the over. It's going to be Justin Herbert, 612 yards, 8 touchdowns. Caleb Williams. Oh, my God. Kareem is with us here. Hey, Kareem, welcome to the show.
John, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing good. Say hi to Joe.
Doing good.
Hey, Kareem.
Hey, Joe, Smoking Joe, how you doing, my
Let's
brother?
Go.
Sorry about that.
All good. What you got?
Hey, man, first and foremost, man, I'm elated as a Falcons fan. You know, John, you and I had this in common. The first time you as well, Joe, the first time in all our lifetimes we've seen a dog get drafted in the first or second round. So I'm ecstatic about that. But, I give Fundo an A on the draft. You know, you got just everybody's not going to be happy. You know, you got D-Led, the beat reporter, you know, on Twitter saying he's thinking we gave up too much. I 100% disagree with D-Led, and him and I had that spat on Twitter. I digress. I want to get into the Shador thing right quick, though, man. I just, man, I'm starting to feel like Shador is getting Kaepernick. I mean, if we use the name Kaepernick as a verb, he's getting Kaepernick. It just feels like a memo's out amongst the league, you know, to stay
well,
away.
I actually kind of understand where you're going with this, Kareem, but allow me to say it's a little bit different in this regard. Is that this is, you know, I mean, there may have been some personal animosity towards Colin Kaepernick on some fronts, okay? There is no personal animosity necessarily towards Shador. There is the sideshow aspect. The problem is there are not very many teams that need quarterbacks. And unless you project Shador Sanders as a starter, you're going to have a lot of pressure. And forget about his dad for a second. Kareem, you're going to have a lot of pressure from your fan base for an exciting young quarterback who can move out of the pocket, especially if you have kind of a stodgier, older quarterback as your starter here, because they want to believe that he's Lamar Jackson when he's not. We lose Kareem?
Do we still have Kareem? No. Looks like he's gone. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a good point, John. Like it's an interesting year for quarterbacks in terms of the teams around the league. Obviously, some of them have kind of made plans, seeing that it's not a great quarterback class, so they've gone out and signed a Joe Flacco, or kind of, you know, they're going to roll with Daniel Jones or something like that. I do wonder, though, you know, just to Kareem's point, I do wonder if where he would have gone maybe last year when there were a lot more teams out there looking for quarterbacks. Granted, it was a, you know, quarterback heavier class as well that he would have been competing with. And then I think the other thing that's kind of holding him back in terms of a team pulling the trigger is the arm strength, and which I just think is ultimately, like, I wonder if teams see that as kind of being somewhat of a cap on his potential. What, like, you know, how much can he develop into as a quarterback at the NFL level if your arm strength, you know, is just it's mediocre. I wonder how much that also plays into it at this point in time. But you could say that for Tyler Shuck too, or some of these other quarterbacks.
Well, and you know, when you come to, you know, celebrated quarterbacks in terms of their production in college, Dylan Gabriel far outshined Shador Sanders. I mean, Dylan Gabriel's the all-time leading passer in the history of the end of college football.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what, is he 6 feet tall, though? That's the problem for him.
No, I understand that, but I mean, yeah. I'm just talking about on sheer numbers, for example.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that's just a huge thing to do here. Let's go to, who's next, Dwayne? Hello, Dwayne. How you doing?
Hey, good evening. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Dwayne.
Good.
I'm going to go a different route on this whole Shador thing because I'm a big-time football fan. I'm actually a Cowboys fan. I live in Atlanta. I've been here forever. Congratulations to all Falcons fans. You finally got some pass rushers. Y'all been begging for that for years. So congratulations, you guys. But let me say this about the whole Shador thing from a different angle. At what time in history have we ever considered a guy, a first-round guy, that had very limited college success? And I'm going to preface that by saying, look at the competition that he played against at Jackson State. Whenever they played teams that had as much or more talent the whole time he was in college, he did not beat those teams. He went 13-11 in 24 games against, you know, Power 5 competition. When do those guys get drafted in the first round?
That's a good point.
I'm not arguing your point. I mean, it's a case where you had to weigh his athletic ability against the fact that he was playing behind an offensive line that couldn't block you and me.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because the offensive line at Colorado got thrown under the bus. They had 85 scholarships. They only kept 10 guys from the previous regime. Those 75 guys were handpicked. And then the next year, 51 of those guys left. You didn't develop any talent there, so you can't put all the blame on the line. A lot of that was decision-making from the pocket. A lot of that was
Well, I saw them play a number of times. Let me just put it to you this way. I'm a Nebraska fan. The Huskers slaughtered them last year.
John still has nightmares from that game.
Nebraska slaughtered them last year.
Oh, last year.
Yeah, in Lincoln.
Like,
I mean,
2 years ago.
It was just, Shador Sanders stood no chance in that game. Every time Ty Robinson and those guys were in his face.
I got one more question.
Real quick.
This is a big time question. Mm-hmm. Tell me Shador's signature win at Colorado.
It's a great question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, this says it all right there.
Did they beat USC or something? Or I don't
know. It was TCU coming off of a slaughter.
Okay, I'll go with that. All right. Now, look, Shador is a talented young man. He's got a lot to learn as quarterback. It's just a case where you got to find the fit. And right now, there are not that many teams looking at quarterback. I just I'm going to dispel this. This is not a personal issue, but it is an issue with his dad a little bit because of the potential circus atmosphere. So that's where you have to get fighting. He's got to go to a team that's got an established quarterback and everybody knows exactly who's who. Quick break, top of the hour, and we'll continue. And Mike Conney just tweeted, he says, those guys get drafted all the time. He's right. They do. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.